painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking, KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with today's Artbeat.
On this episode of Artbeat, we visit with a cast member of Great River Shakespeare Festival. This individual has the unique challenge of playing a man in Julius Caesar and a female in As You Like It.
I'm having to play with different ways of using my voice. Men, they speak more often in a more limited range, and they step from pitch to pitch.
Caroline Amos will share with us how she, as a feminist, enjoys Shakespeare's take on female characters, and more. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you're listening to Artbeat. Good afternoon. We are beginning our coverage of Great River Shakespeare Festival, and the first actor that I have in the hot seat is Caroline Amos, and she is in Julius Caesar and As You Like It. Welcome back to Winona.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
I saw a Facebook post a couple weeks ago when you came back saying this was your second home.
It really is. It's, this place is just so magical. It's totally my second home.
Is this your third season with us?
Third season.
Okay, so you started off as in the Young Actors, was it? Or Apprentice
No.
Program? The Apprentice Program?
Apprentice Program.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you're not that young.
No, I'm not.
And it's just kind of, it was a surprise, I think, to you when they had the live webcast and you were cast in Romeo and Juliet last year.
Yeah, a huge surprise. It was awesome.
And then back again. So
yeah.
I want to know, did you grow up saying, I want to be a Shakespearean actor? Or how did you get into acting in the first place?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I read Romeo and Juliet as a freshman in high school, and I loved it so much, and I was constantly obsessing over it, and anytime the teacher asked a question, I would have my hand raised first, to the point where she had to ask me to stop asking questions.
Oh, you're that kid.
I'm totally that kid. Okay. I was Hermione Granger. So I loved that. And then I got the opportunity to perform in that same show my sophomore year of high school. And I went, oh my God, this is fascinating. This is awesome. I like doing this. And then I've seen a few productions of Shakespeare that really transformed my worldview and the way that I look at art. And I don't know. I think that's kind of my leading factor.
Have you done other theater presentations outside of that?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I just did a musical in the Twin Cities back in December, and that feels like it's completely out of my element. I did that. I've done some contemporary stuff, but my heart's always with Shakespeare.
So even from a young age, you knew you wanted to act. So
Yeah. You
went to college specifically for that then?
I did. I went to the Conservatory of Theater Arts at Webster University, and it was awesome.
Where are you originally from?
St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, okay, so you're still a Midwestern girl.
Oh, totally. I think one day I'll make it to one coast, but right now Minnesota's looking pretty nice.
So do you have a master's or is it bachelor's?
Bachelor of Fine Arts.
Okay,
got my BFA.
So you kind of just came out of school and went for it then?
Oh, yeah.
What was your first job?
My first job was playing Juliet in Romeo and Juliet last summer at Great River.
I can't believe it.
I know. It was the best. Nothing could have beaten that.
Oh, wow. Okay. So why is it that you are so inspired by Shakespeare? Is it the language? What gives you the worldview?
It's a lot of factors. I think primarily it was the way he portrays his females, especially for the time period. His women are so strong. They are written as people with opinions. And I'm a huge feminist. So reading Shakespeare inspires me in a way that even modern playwrights can't even inspire me.
Ibsen comes close with his women.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Absolutely. But we still have much further to go in terms of. You know, women and feminism and all sorts of stuff like that. But it's so inspiring to see back in the 1600s, Shakespeare's writing these women who are fully aware of what's happening. And they either choose to stand or they choose to remain silent, but it's always their choice. When an injustice is done to a woman, it is not seen as... A lot of times it's entertainment, which there are some injustices done to women in Shakespeare that are totally entertaining, but it's more of like the human story. A friend of mine is always saying Shakespeare wrote
the most three-dimensional character. He wrote the most full human. And to see women as full as the men, it's really inspiring.
Yeah, because you don't see that always today, even.
No.
You know, especially if you look at TV.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I mean, look at that. And what I love about Shakespeare is it's heading in this direction where we can cast different kinds of actors in different roles. We can have women playing the men's roles. We can start increasing diversity, which has been really needed for a long time.
I mean, even cross-culturally, yeah.
Absolutely. So to be able to have a medium in which you can do that is fascinating. Because you can't always do that with an Ibsen play or a lot of contemporary plays today. They're too specific. Whereas Shakespeare's it can be a little more malleable in that sense. He wrote humans. He didn't write a specific human. He wrote humans. And I think we can all identify with every character on some level or another.
So when you go about approaching a role like you are in Julius Caesar or in As You Like It, mm-hmm. how are you approaching your character?
Yeah, well, they couldn't be more different this year. Phoebe in As You Like It is this very proud, scornful, very self-centered woman who treats this poor shepherd Silvius terribly because she has fallen in love with Ganymede, who's actually a woman disguised as a man. How delightful. So when it comes to someone like Phoebe, it's got to be wickedly sharp and extremely specific. I have to remain completely in the moment at all times, which you have to do in acting, but on a totally different level with a character like this. Like, you have to be so present, because if you're not present, you miss the point, you miss the comedy. It's like leaping through hurdles of fire and everything is just...
Can't be on autopilot.
Not at all. What I love about Shakespeare is you can't do that. You can't be on autopilot with Shakespeare. But then I'm playing Lucius the boy servant in Julius Caesar. So I'm playing a young boy, which is physically and vocally extremely different. I'm having to play with different ways of using my voice. Women tend to glide from pitch to pitch.
Oh, yeah.
But men, they speak more often in a more limited range, and they step from pitch to pitch, which is really, it's kind of hard to learn how to do that. But it's been a really lovely challenge. And also trying to walk without swaying my hips is, it's a little hard, but it's really fun.
Quit bringing the heels to practice, Carol.
Right? We're about to go into Julius Caesar in the next couple hours, and I'm wearing Oxfords, so I can get into it.
Yeah, and I guess with the voice, like, when you think of it, an extreme example would be William Shatner. With how he steps his voice.
Oh, completely. Yeah, I should definitely go to him for some inspiration.
Yeah. For you, when you're approaching the role, how do you begin studying it without overstepping what maybe the director would want? You know what I mean? Like, because you get the role ahead of time, reading up on it, you're going to have your own opinions of what you think the character should be. But how do you approach it without overstepping?
That's a really good question. I'm the type of person, I like to find the character, read the play as many times as possible, see what other characters say about my character, and then do research on the character. For instance, Lucius actually existed in history. So to do a little bit of research on who that person was really helpful. Phoebe, on the other hand, I don't have that luxury, but everyone talks about her and not in the best of lights in As You Like It. So it's kind of nice to go in with an idea of what you want the character to be. But ultimately, it's important to find some common ground with the director and for you guys to collaborate and work together on it. So I never like to come in with anything set in stone and try not to get too attached to anything, because fortunately here we have like 5 weeks of rehearsal.
That's kind of a luxury, isn't it?
It's a huge luxury. Like, we are spoiled brats here.
I've heard of 4 weeks.
4 weeks is perfect. 5 is amazing. 3 is hard. 2 is just the most scary idea in the whole world. Exactly. So, yeah, it's to come in with an idea. I mean, I would never want to come into a room not knowing anything.
Right.
But to come in with like a nice idea and have some information to back up maybe some choices you've already thought about is really good. Fortunately, here we've got great directors who will work with us, and they have done as much research as we have. And it's nice to come together and be like, who are these people? What's going on there? How are we looking at them?
You also have a dialect coach here.
A text coach.
Text coach, I should say, yeah.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Oh, my God, extremely. Because the text coach, They are the resident nerd, and I mean that with like the most kind and like loving description of them, because nerds are the best. They go above and beyond like what is expected of anybody, and they know things that you couldn't possibly find. Like, I need to figure out these magical resources that they use. It's probably just the internet. They are immensely helpful. They give us the little extra pushes that we need and help direct us in terms of not how to say the text, but what words to target and pitch and tempo and things like that.
I'm sure you've had some moments on stage.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get over them? Give me an example.
Oh, wait, what kind of moments?
Oh, like, you know what kind of moments.
Oh, like the moments where you like black out and you go, what's happening?
Yeah. Give me an example of one and like
I
handled it.
You know, I was recently doing an education tour of Hamlet and Midsummer. I was playing Hamlet. I was in the middle of the Fear Not to Be monologue, and I asked the crowd, am I a coward? And one girl goes, no, out loud. And I was so touched because I think I want them to say yes. But this one girl clearly was just trying to like help me feel better. And it totally worked because then I was like super excited about it. And then totally was like, oh God, what do I do now?
Thrown off, curveball.
How do I continue? And so then it just, the monologue had never been like that before. And it was actually really refreshing and lovely. But, you know, you definitely have that moment where your brain's going, what's going on? What are you doing? Oh, my God. But it's awesome. Like, to have someone at least vocally respond and go, no, it's, like, amazing. That's the end goal, is you want your audience to respond. And I don't know. It was pretty awesome.
So you said you were in a musical recently.
Yeah.
So you do the whole triple threat act, sing, dance?
I don't know if I would call myself a triple threat, but I can do the triple stuff.
Okay.
But I actually, it was directed by Doug Schultz Carlson. It was
excellent.
The Snow Queen at Park Square Theater. And Doug directed me in Romeo and Juliet last summer and brought me up to do it. It's interesting. I've always had difficulty when it comes to singing. It scares me to death. And Doug somehow believed in me. And in the process of doing the show, my voice transformed. I was able to belt notes I had never been able to hit before in any voice lesson I'd ever taken. And it was because, I think it was just because someone believed in me and believed that I could do it. And I had no choice but to do it.
Yeah, you were cast. I mean.
Yeah, which was like, oh God. But it was fun. And I love to dance, but I am by no means a dancer. I could try a high kick. I'll probably break my hip. But I like doing it. Ask anyone. I'm always tap dancing in corners everywhere. Not well, but I like doing it.
Did you do dance growing up?
Yeah, not growing up, but I took voice lessons and dance lessons in college.
Okay.
Just like the basics. Ballet, jazz, tap, nice. Musical theater.
Nice. It's still early in your career, technically.
Oh, I'm a baby in my career,
yeah.
I think.
So where are you based out of right now? Are you still in St. Louis, or are you in, and you were in New York for a while?
I was doing a showcase. And I am, you know, I like to consider myself a little homeless right now.
Okay.
I've lived in St. Louis my whole life. I love and appreciate it. I'm very ready to leave. But actually, the goal is to move to Minneapolis when the summer is over.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, it's made that much of an impact on me. And I want to end up in L.A. or New York. The problem is I like both. And I don't...
They both have their pros and cons.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I like both of them equally, which is kind of frustrating. So I'm moving to Minneapolis because I love the work being done there. I've got some great friends and some awesome family that live up there. But I think eventually I'll end up on one coast or the other, and I couldn't possibly tell you which one it will be right now. Ideally, I wouldn't really want to settle down anywhere. I'd kind of just want to live in my car a little bit and work from city to city. But when I'm not doing theater work, I do need a place to, like, live. So I'll make that Minneapolis for a while and then see what happens from there. Who knows? I might just end up sticking around.
Are you going to focus on Shakespeare? Are you going to kind of enjoy the cornucopia that theater offers?
I want to do it all. But if I had it my way, if I did only Shakespeare for the rest of my life, I would be perfectly happy and full of bliss. But I would love to do everything. I mean, I think Shakespeare, it's never the easiest medium for me. Because it challenges me. But I know that there are times where even working on a contemporary play can really, really push me in ways that Shakespeare can't, just because I haven't worked on contemporary text as much.
Now, people do not know necessarily what your rehearsal schedule is. So take us through a day of a person who's
absolutely
going through this.
Totally. So I think the standard schedule is we rehearse from noon to 4 and from 6 to 10 every single day. Ideally, you might have an afternoon or evening off, which would be super nice. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Today, that's not going to happen for any of us. But sometimes in the mornings, we teach Shakespeare for young actors and young designers. So on those days, your days probably start at like 8 or 9 in the morning. The apprentices go to class from 9 a.m. to 11. Then they sit and watch their person they're understudying from noon to 4, 6 to 10. And then usually at the end of the day, we all head to the Legion or Zaza's for a drink or some wings, and we all hang out some more and talk about what we're passionate about. Actually, it's a really lovely day. It's busy, but it's fantastic.
People have heard online when you guys talk about Tech Week. Can you explain what that is to the
yes.
person who doesn't know what that is?
This is Tech Week. Tech Week is a magical time in which we get the show out of the rehearsal room and we put it into the theater for the first time on a set, which often involves levels that we always know exist, but we haven't played on yet because we've been practicing on a flat surface. So tech is the first time you put lights, sound, set, actors, costumes all together and you try and do the play. And it often is a very slow process because you don't want anybody to get injured or hurt in the process of putting everything up. We have to rehearse quick changes. If you have to change from one costume to another really quickly and for the next scene, we have to rehearse transitions. We'll often have to go through them multiple times to make sure that we get the timing of the lights and the sound and everything just right. There's some long days. I mean, I don't really remember what our...
God, I think you've had 12 to 18 hour days before.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But there's also like there's equity rules about how long you can call an actor. I think it's like 10 out of 12 hours is us in the theater working, which is awesome. I mean, it's exhausting and everyone's a little cranky by the end of the day just because we've all had to be focusing for so long. But the end product is always really magical. And by the end of tech, we're like dying to get an audience in the room.
Oh, yeah.
So there's like something new happening as opposed to us just walking on stage, being around each other.
It's really a metamorphosis. It's kind of like a butterfly taking off.
Yeah. It's awesome. There's nothing better than that.
If you were to give advice to the young actors.
Oh.
Yeah. What would it be?
Oh, wow. Above all, to thine own self be true, which is from Hamlet, and that was really, really sappy of me. But there's some huge truth to that. I don't know if you can be a great actor if you're not really true to the person that you are, if you're not honest with yourself. And I think to get into this business, you have to be true and honest, and those are they're challenging for me on a daily basis. But if you get into acting so that way you can try and disguise yourself and transform into another person, that's all great. But at the end of the day, you have to realize that your ability to transform depends entirely on your ability to be honest with yourself. And once you learn how to do that, it can be more challenging, but it can also be enlightening and the work can go deeper. So yeah, be true to yourself and be honest and no BS.
Sounds like you've had experience with that.
Yeah, I think every actor has to. I mean, especially going through a training program, they can smell dishonesty from a mile away.
Probably smell fear, too.
And fear and insecurity. And you know what? As an actor, you're going to experience all of those on a pretty much consistent basis. There's never a moment where you go, ah, I know who I am and I am perfectly content with myself. No, I still go through periods where I come out of the rehearsal room and I go, everything I did was just terrible today. Who am I? Why am I doing this? And then you get up and you do it again the next day and you find something else and something else inspires you for that day. But the more you're honest with yourself, the deeper your work can be. And it's a challenge for everyone. I know it is for myself.
Caroline, if people want to find out more information about you, do you have a web space?
I have a website.
Wow.
Yeah, it is super cool. It's www.carolineamis.com. You can check it out. There's pictures, there's video, some updates and things like that. So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, welcome back. And
thank you.
Welcome to being a Minnesotan.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks again to Caroline Amos for visiting with us on Art Beat. You can see Caroline in this season's productions of As You Like It and Julius Caesar during Great River Shakespeare Festival. More information on the festival can be found at www.grsf.org. I'm Terry Tensett, thanking you for listening to Art Beat.
Art Beat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.